Okay, 10 days ago, we were at the stadium, and we announced we were making changes in the Browns organization, and we announced that we would set off on a coaching search and talked about who would be part of that coaching search and talked a little bit about the process. And first of all, I want to thank Sashi, who you'll hear from in a little bit, Dee and Paul D. Podesto. Also want to recognize Jed Hughes, who did an outstanding job from Corn and Ferry and really helped us with our process. We talked to seven outstanding candidates, really good people, fine men, good coaches. One of them's already been named a head coach, and I have no doubt others will be named head coach. But we got the right guy for the Cleveland Browns. He is smart. He's tough. He's confident. He's competitive. He's been a head coach before. He's got a great offensive mind. He's got a tremendous track record developing quarterbacks. I'm going to say this again because you'll see it when you hear from him and you'll see it when you're around him. He is very, very competitive. He understands the AFC North. He's been a part of the AFC North, and I think he's going to be a great head coach for the Cleveland Browns. Before we hear from Hugh, and I know that's who everyone wants to hear from tonight, Sashi's going to make a few remarks about the process, and he'll give you a little update on where we are on our personnel position search. Sashi?
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Really honored to be here and to be able to introduce the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns as we set out to move forward and find the next head coach here and the leader and face of our franchise. We immediately knew after some great meetings we had with some players at the end of our season, we needed to establish a culture, set a tone for our building, and find a head coach that could bring a confidence and instill a confidence in our players where we would expect to win every Sunday. And we certainly are glad that we found Hugh. We had a tremendous process with Jed and Paul and Jimmy and Dee, myself. Hugh is going to bring a toughness and certainly an experience in terms of bringing the winning back to Cleveland that we set out to accomplish. So we're happy that we accomplished that goal. And so for the Dog Pound, for our players, I am really pleased to introduce Hugh Jackson as the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Good man.
Oh, wow. First of all, thank you. There's so many people I need to thank. First, I would be remiss if I didn't go back and first thank the people in Cincinnati, Mike Brown, Katie and Troy, and obviously Marvin, who's a real good friend of mine, Sandy and Jamie, just some people there, the coaching staff that I worked with for so many wonderful years, Mike Zimmer, who's now in Minnesota, because they helped me get to where I am today, and I can never, ever repay them for the opportunity that they gave me. Now, to thank the people that are here that brought me here, obviously Jimmy and Dee, wow, what outstanding people. And I just can't, again, thank you guys enough for this opportunity. And I'm looking forward to representing the Cleveland Browns and helping this organization get to where we know it should be. Sashi and Paul, these guys are tremendous. I know everybody's talking about analytics and all those things. Everybody's smiling out there right now. Please trust me. I am going to have an opportunity to work with some of the smartest men in football. I've been in a lot of different buildings, but I have never had an opportunity in two settings to sit down with two of the brightest minds in football in doing what they do. And Sashi, thank you. And Paul, where is Paul at tonight?
Paul's back in California.
That's right. Paul, thank you for this again. The time that was spent with me, giving me an opportunity to find out if I had what it takes to be the next Cleveland Brown coach. Obviously, there's so many different things to talk about as we continue to move forward, but I am so excited for this opportunity. As he said, I've been in the AFC North. I kind of know the lay of the land, and I understand where we are and where we're trying to go. Obviously, we understand that Cincinnati is one of the top teams in this league. Pittsburgh is still playing, and obviously when you look at Baltimore, they had a down year this year, and we understand where the Cleveland Browns are. But we know there's got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of things that we need to do to get there. But what I'm most excited about, when I think of Jimmy and Dee and their commitment to me and the commitment that we have for this building, for our players and what we're trying to accomplish, there is none other. Like I said, I've been in two of these organizations in the AFC North. I've been in Cincinnati, and I've been in Baltimore, and I can tell you firsthand, there's nothing like the feeling of walking through these doors. Nothing. I know there's a rabid fan base that is excited. Dog Pound, let me give you a fist pump because I'm excited and I want to jump over in that pound. And when I get an opportunity, when we play football the way I know we can play. But we all know there's a lot of work to do. I'm excited about the work that needs to be done. I've already rolled up my sleeves, and I'm ready to go. So I know you guys have a ton of questions, and let's have at it.
Thank you. This is, I'm Tom Witherspoon, the Associated Press. Welcome. This is one of 32 coveted positions. When you had the short stint in Oakland, did you ever worry that you would not get a second chance?
You know, I never thought about it that way. I think what you do as an assistant coach in the National Football League, you work. You just put your head down and work, and everybody has aspirations, and sometimes it just doesn't work out for some. I think I've been fortunate enough to have an opportunity to do it again, and I'm looking forward to this opportunity.
You and Jimmy said that we talked about last Sunday that this is going to be a several-year process. Of course, it's a league where there are one-year turnarounds. So between it could be a several-year process and the one-year turnaround everybody wishes could happen, you know, what is going to happen?
Well, I'm glad he said that. I sure am. That makes me feel a little bit better. No, I truly understand that, and I really respect Jim saying that. But at the same time, that's not my mindset, and I don't want that to be our players' mindset. We want to go, and we expect to win every game we play. Now, that being said, there's a lot of things that need to happen to have that opportunity to come forth. But at the same time, we're not going to be a football team that walks out there and say, well, we say give. I'm not interested in that. I did not come here for that. I came here to win. I came here to help our team have an opportunity to win football games, and we're not going to care about where we play. We understand the AFC North. We understand who we have to play outside our division, and they're really good football teams, and we expect to have a really good football team here.
Terry Fluter from the Plain Dealer. You're working for basically Sashi's got the control of the 53, you know, salary cap guy, attorney, and a stats guy from baseball. People say, now, how's a hardcore football guy and these guys?
I like the way you said it, a stats guy from baseball.
Yeah, actually, okay. I'm a baseball guy. Actually, I've known Paul for a long time. But, so how do you deal with that, though? Because, I mean, these are different ways of looking at the game, different personalities and so on.
I think that's the beautiful part. I think there's all kind of ways to make things happen. There's more than one way to do things. And in my conversations with Sashi and with Paul, we're on point. We understand exactly what it's going to take to put this roster together to give us the best opportunity to be successful. And like you said, analytics is just a part of it. It's not the whole part of it, but it's a piece of it. And if we can find another way of doing things good to give us an opportunity to have success, we all would do that. There's not a person in this room that wouldn't do that. So I like being cutting edge. I try to be innovative and cutting edge on offense. We want to be innovative and cutting edge in everything that we do in this building, you know, because eventually everybody's going to be doing what we're doing. And that's the fun part about this.
Tony Grossi from ESPN Cleveland. Can you give me I'm sure you didn't just sit and listen during the interview. Could you give us an idea of what your biggest question to them was?
Do we have a chance to win? That's the biggest question. Huh? Yes. Hugh, what do you think it's going to take to give this an opportunity to win here in Cleveland? And to me, those questions were met with no problem. And that's why I'm sitting here today. If I didn't think that we had a chance to do something special here, I wouldn't be here. There's no question about that. And again, I cannot thank Jimmy and Dee enough for this opportunity because those two people are driven to success. I said this to Jimmy the other day. He's had success in doing most things he's done. And what did you say to me, Jimmy?
Accept this.
Accept this. And let me tell you, I'm here now. We want to change that. He deserves, him and his wife and this organization and this city deserves a winner. And that's what I'm here to do, is to help this organization win.
What are your thoughts on Johnny Manziel, and do you want him as a quarterback on this team?
This is what I would say to that. I need to get in this building and have an opportunity to sit down and watch tape. You know, I don't know Johnny personally. I know who he is. But at the same time, I think I have to give everybody on our football team the fair opportunity to see who they are, to truly learn who they are, and then make decisions from there.
Tom Reed from the Cleveland.com. One player that I'm sure you're familiar with, I know you're more of an offensive guy, was Joe Thomas, left tackle, all-pro.
Wow.
Joe was kind of down at the end of the season. It was like the first time he had talked about maybe like, I don't know if I want to go through another rebuilding process, and I don't know if they want me here in the rebuilding process. At some point, do you want to sit down and talk to Joe, and what would you tell him about how he could help this team over the next couple of years?
Honestly, I want to sit down and talk to all of our players. You know, I think the guy you mentioned, Joe Thomas, is one of the best left tackles in this league, bar none. And he does deserve an opportunity to win. And he is a tremendous football player and has been one of the cornerstones of this organization and this football team. And I can't wait to have the opportunity to talk to him, to give him our plan. And hopefully, I believe in my heart that he's going to get excited about what we're trying to accomplish.
How long is it going to take to put together a competitive staff? And that's in the context of, I think when Mike Pettine got here, you know, the first-time head coach who kind of groped a little bit to put together a good staff and then struggled with that through the 2 years.
Are you guys done with me? Can I go upstairs right now? I mean, there are some tremendous football coaches sitting by the phone waiting on me to call. You would be surprised, and I'm being very honest, I have 142 text messages on my phone. I never knew my phone could go that long, okay? And most of them are coaches. And they're not just saying, hey, Hugh, congratulations. They're saying, Hugh, will you help me get to the Cleveland Browns and have an opportunity to sit in front of Jimmy and the rest of your staff and have a chance to come here and help you win? And to me, that's what this is all about. I mean, I'm going to attract some good coaches and some great coaches, but to me, we got to find the right fit for us. How fast that process is going to go, I don't know, but I do need to get on that phone and start returning some of those text messages.
Are you going to be kind of at the lead of getting the talent evaluator or whatever you want to call that GM-type position? Are you involved in that? Or
I'm going to do whatever's asked of me. I know I'm going to have an opportunity, obviously, to meet that person, know who that person is. This organization, I am so comfortable that we're going to make decisions, whether Hugh Jackson's involved or whether Hugh Jackson's not, that is best for our organization. What I want to do is get the people to help us win, okay, regardless of who it is. But you asked the question, will I be involved? I think I'm involved in all of those things, but am I going to make those decisions? I don't think I need to make those decisions. I just need to know who it is.
Yeah, we are going to set out in earnest to find our top personnel person this week. We will start our interviews and hope to have that concluded. And as I said, in earnest, obviously tonight, Terry, this conversation is about Hugh Jackson tonight. We're excited about our head coach, but we will set out to find that person and Hugh will be involved, certainly. Again, I think as Hugh said, this is going to be a collaborative, very integrative partnership is the way I think Paul, Hugh and I think about it with Jimmy, certainly. And so he'll be involved as we move forward, please.
Every coach that has sat there has talked about turning the culture around, mm-hmm. and it hasn't happened. So how difficult a task is that?
It's hard for me to tell you about the other coaches, but I know what Hugh Jackson can do, and I feel very comfortable and confident that I can get it turned. I believe that. I know that, and I expect to get that done.
So, but how? I mean, how do you?
It's a process. It's a lot of work to it, and there's no question about that. I just say, let's see how that goes. You know, let's talk about this a month or 2 months, 3 months, 4 months from now, and let's see where we are.
Jimmy, can you answer one question? This is a non-Hugh related question, but this information has come out since we last talked to you about you kind of took like a year to go around and talk to some successful organizations and baseball teams, I think the Thunder. Why did you do that, and what have you learned about your organization after talking to their organizations as far as how you wanted to turn this thing around?
Well, I think we've stated on a lot of cases that there's a learning curve to being an owner. And we talked to a lot of NFL, former NFL people, individuals who retired, many of whom you all are familiar with. But not a lot of NFL teams want to tell you how they do things because it's competitive. And so we talked to baseball and basketball teams. And the current theme, Tom, from every single one of them was alignment. You've got to get everybody aligned. And we, and I'll take the responsibility, did not do that, you know, the first couple of times. And I think you're going to be surprised at how well aligned we are. And these coaching searches are really intense because you're covering a lot of ground. You spend a lot of time together. But it actually worked out great because Paul joined Dee, Sashi, and myself. And it gave us a chance to spend, I mean, you start early and you go late. You're either on a plane or working together for long hours. It gave us a chance to really get to know Paul, Sashi, and myself, to spend time together. I feel really good, and Hugh alluded to it. We have some really smart people in the building, and people with low egos, and people who will work together. And that's the main takeaway I had from all those organizations is, and I think I addressed it tonight in the press conference, is it's not so much important as how you're structured. It's important, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to make sure everybody's properly aligned, understand their roles, and works together. And that's what I took from all those organizations.
Jimmy, 10 days ago, you said that this is a process that's going to take some time. What's the minimum amount of time that you're going to give this regime to show you that they can...
You know, I'm confident they're going to do a good job.
Take us what happened from yesterday to today that resulted in Hugh being here. And Hugh, why did you not go to New York to interview with the Giants?
We had a great interview with Hugh Sunday afternoon. And you talk about a tough session. Everybody watched their game Saturday night, and Hugh had an interview with another team on Sunday morning, and we spent Sunday afternoon with him. We felt great about things. We took Monday to regroup and kind of process where we were and decided it was important for Hugh and important for us to touch base one more time. Paul, Sashi, and myself went down there yesterday morning, spent the morning together. We talked last night, agreed that Hugh was our man, made the offer to him today.
Why did you not go to New York then?
Jimmy and Dee Haslam and Sashi and Paul. I mean, that's it at the end of the day. This is about people. I mean, you have to feel comfortable that you have the proper support to have a chance to have success. And I am more than comfortable with our structure. I'm more than comfortable with the people that I'm sitting up here before.
You know that there has been a lot of change here over the years, and I say this with Jimmy sitting next to you. How do you feel comfortable knowing the coaches have only gotten a year or two?
That's those coaches. And again, I mean, at the end of the day, I do understand and respect that this is a performance business, you know, and I know that this is about wins and losses. I mean, that's how I get judged, and I respect that, and I know what I signed up for. But at the end of the day, I truly believe, without question, that I have the proper support system from Jimmy and Dee and Paul and Sashi that's going to give me an opportunity to have success. I've never experienced anything like that before in my life. And to me, that told me that this building is electric, and they want to win, and they expect to win, and they understand that there's a lot of work to do, but everybody's ready to roll up their sleeves and go to work.
What did you learn from your
what specifically was so appealing about this group that you wanted to be here as opposed to other teams that are looking at you?
The potential. I mean, where do you find an unbelievable fan base? Where do you find an unbelievable owner, a passionate wife, two young men who are on the verge of doing something different and special in a National Football League, and you feel in line with those people? As you said, I'd interviewed at some other places. I've talked to a lot of different people over the phone, and I get a feel for people. I think I can judge people pretty well. And the feeling that I had after meeting with this group was different than the feelings that I had after meeting and talking with others. And so, to me, it was a no-brainer for me.
What did you learn in your first stint as a head coach with Oakland? And did you feel like there was unfinished business just the way it ended and only having 1 year?
I did, but at the same time, I understood that through that process, what I learned more than anything, you have to have support, and you can't do it alone. You know, I think you guys all know and recognize that I lost our owner, you know, during the season, and it became very difficult, and it was different. And sometimes you felt like you were in a maze, you know, by yourself. And that's what's different here. There's a lot of people to support and help and get you what you need as a coach, as a leader, to have an opportunity to have success.
You've had a lot of...
You know the defense of the Cleveland Browns as well as anyone in this room from having prepared against it twice just recently. Tell us as much as you can about the Cleveland Browns defense.
Well, I think it's a young nucleus of players, but I think at the same time, I think until I can watch videotape of those guys, you know, obviously I've watched them competing against them, but this is different now. I'm going to have an opportunity to coach them. So I think I need to be able to watch that videotape and evaluate them all before I can make that statement.
You plan to call your own plays and that type of thing?
Well, I love calling plays. I do. But I'm going to do whatever I think is the right thing for this organization. Obviously, we're going to look to find the best coaches that we can in the world to come here and coach. And if that means that Hugh Jackson needs to slide over and give someone else that opportunity, then I will. But I know I will always be itching and scratching and wanting to do it because I think I have a pretty good feel of what it takes to be successful in this league.
You've worked with a lot of different personalities, especially at the wide receiver corps. In about a month here, or even less than that, Josh Gordon has a chance to reapply to come back in the league. He's under contract. What are your thoughts on him, and are you anxious to get maybe a chance to work with him?
Yeah, what I'm anxious to do is evaluate him just like we're going to evaluate every player on our roster and see if they are the right fit for the Cleveland Browns. And I think that's what we have to do with every player, whether it's Josh Gordon to whoever the last guy is on the roster.
Can I go back to that Manziel question? More than his on-the-field stuff that you want to evaluate, his Johnny Manziel's off-the-field mm-hmm. Issues.
Again, I wasn't here to be a part of that. So obviously I can't speak to any of those. I think what's important is that I evaluate him as a football player and then find out more about those things as we move forward.
The Browns have the number 2 pick in the draft coming up. Sorry, Pat. How attractive is that? And how well do you know this quarterback class that's coming in?
I'm going to know him pretty well here pretty soon. But I think it's obviously having a number 2 pick is great, you know, and sometimes it's not. I think we as an organization, we have a lot of work to do to make sure, you know, that's where we need to be or where we don't need to be. But I think it's a great place to start for a new head coach, you know, because you have a chance to get a good player.
Jimmy, you saying you never discussed Manziel during any of the interview process?
Did I say that we never discussed Manziel? No, I never said that to you. I never said that. What I said to you is that I need to evaluate him as a football player, and I know whatever incidents that he's been involved in, I was not a part of here. So I can't comment on those because I don't know anything about those.
How important was it for you to measure how much input you have in the personnel in this structure, and how much input will you have? Can you explain it to us?
Well, I think when we had the conversation about how that works, I think Sashi and Paul were very comfortable with me having an opportunity to give them my input, okay? And that means we're going to work together through this process. These guys are in charge of making sure that those things happen. My job is to make sure that we win football games. All I want to do is win. I'm not worried about who picks this player, picks that player. I want to make sure I know what we're going to put on our team. But at the same time, give me players so I can coach them. That's what my expertise is. My thing is to get us to the game ready to play, motivated, fired up, enthusiastic, and have an opportunity to win. And that's what I'm interested in.
You have an opportunity as a Bengals coach. You have an opportunity as a Bengals coach to see the Browns from afar.
Wait a minute. You were saying something. Go ahead. You were speaking. Go ahead. You've been trying for a while.
Thank you. You had an opportunity to go interview with, you know, an elite franchise with a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Their last head coach was there for 12 years. And then, you know, the last 4 coaches here have lasted 2 years or less. So how did you overcome the whole stability piece here and kind of reconcile that and decide that you were just going to eschew that opportunity and come to a place and come here?
You know, you said it. I think someone said it best. There's 32 of these, right? And to me, I can't worry about what's happened before me. You know, I know this history that everybody looks to and points to and say, well, you know, this can happen to you. And I'm not opposed to saying that it couldn't, but I don't believe so. Based on my process with Jimmy and Dee and Sashi and Paul, I don't believe that, you know. And at the end of the day, I do understand and recognize my job is about winning and nothing else. And this team being as good as it can be and these young men being the best they can be on the field as well as off the field. I mean, that's what I'm in charge of, and I think that's what is important.
Hayden Grove of Scout.com. You said earlier that you attract, you know, great coaches, and a lot of former players and other coaches today have tweeted their, you know, congratulations and their praise of you. Why do you think that you attract that greatness?
Because I think players know that I'm honest and I'm fair and I'm tough, and that you know, my job is to push people to get them to where they need to be. I think Jimmy spoke about earlier of singleness of purpose. He used a different phrase than I did, but everybody coming together, being aligned is the term I think he used the right way. And I try to align players the right way to get them pointing. The arrow needs to point up and not down. And we do all recognize that sometimes the arrow does go down on some players. And then when they do, you got to get them back and focus the best they can and try to create environments for your players to be all they can be. And that's what I think I'm good at. And I think the players that I've been around, the coaches I've been around, they know that because I try to create their environments so people can have success.
When you look for a defensive coordinator, are you looking for his system or the person?
I'm looking for the person that can bring energy, that can bring tenacity, that's a guy that understands how to lead men, and a guy that understands how to defeat the offenses, the real good offenses in this league.
We got time for about two more.
Sasha, can you talk about Hugh's approach to analytics and what it meant for you in the process and in the interviewing process?
Yeah, I think, Hugh, the first thing you realize is, first, he's smart, right, and tremendously competitive. And so he understands, just like Paul, Jimmy D, and the rest of ourselves, everything we're going to do here is going to be focused on winning. We'd like to create every possible competitive advantage we can. If that's from analytics, if those apply, certainly we'll use those in our decision-making to make sure that we put ourselves in the best position to win. Acquiring talent, helping Hugh on the field with his coaching, it could be player development. But we will look at that, and Hugh certainly was open. In addition to being smart and open-minded, he was certainly open to the use of analytics throughout our processes.
Jimmy, what you with D's all been a part of the organization since you've taken over, but she seems to be taking a bigger role in different things. Can you explain the process of why she's becoming a bigger part of the organization, sitting in on interviews, doing things?
Yeah, Dee's been my partner for a long time, okay? And both of us are at a place in our businesses where we can now spend a lot more time here. And beside just it was great to have her along, she adds value. She reads people extremely well. And I know a lot of people asked yesterday about the NFL meeting. Well, once we saw that we were still going to be zeroing in on the search, it was great to have Dee be able to go to the meeting, represent us extremely well, and me be able to stay focused on the search. So she's a tremendous asset, not just to me, to the organization, and I'm very happy to have her by my side. She's been a big help.
Jimmy, you've been through a lot of these coaching interviews the last few years. What was different about you compared to the 20-some you probably have had over the...
Yeah, I think Terry, start with the process. I think and Jed helped this, and Sasha and Paul are both really smart and very disciplined, and you all hear us use process a lot, very organized. And like I said, we had 7 candidates, all of whom were very good candidates. And when you go through these, as I said a minute ago, Terry, it's a lot of work, but you also learn a lot. And we took notes that will help the Browns organization going forward from every single person we interviewed. So I think we were very well organized. We ran a tight ship. I don't think there was any leaks or anything coming out. And I think we had things lined up well. And there were several really good candidates in the group. And Hugh, it's kind of interesting. Hugh and I were laughing about this yesterday as we're finishing up our second interview. He and I had run into each other on the sidelines a couple times before the game and just had a natural chemistry. And I had no man ever thought, well, this guy will be our next head coach. And I doubt Hugh was trying to sell me on that fact. We just had a natural chemistry and always visit a little bit before the game. So we knew each other a little bit. And we sat down on Sunday, and I think he slept zero Saturday night and had gone through a long interview with another team. And we had a great session. It just felt comfortable. And then yesterday we went back down, and Paul and Sash and Hugh and I sat around the table and just talked kind of real-life situations. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? For about 3 hours, and it was just really comfortable. It was as if we had worked together a long time, and Sash and I have worked together 3 years. Paul is now on week 2, and, you know, that was the second time we ever spent time with Hugh, and it was just a very comfortable working environment. And, you know, we got up and asked Hugh to excuse himself, nod ourselves, and said, okay, we're ready to go. This is our man, and we're excited.
Do you plan on retaining any coaches from your previous staff?
Again, we're going to, you know, have an opportunity to speak to them and evaluate them and see if they fit. And if they do, we will. And if they don't, then obviously we'll make decisions to move forward.
Jimmy, how gratifying is it to get, you know, the last two processes were a little bit longer, certainly. How gratifying is it for you guys to kind of get your man right away this time?
Well, it's helpful. I think we qualified by saying we didn't know if this was going to take 2 weeks or 2 months, and I think we felt like we were organized in such a manner that it would be on the short end. And it's nice to get Hugh hired, because now Hugh can go to work hiring a staff, and we can go to work hiring our personnel person, so that, you know, in the hopefully not too distant future, we'll be ready to roll. The football season, as you all know, Tom, never really ends. I mean, we got free agency coming up, and you have the various all-star games, and you have the combine, and before long it'll be the draft. So I think we all understand, and I think Hugh will tell us we were very honest about where we see ourselves as a team and the amount of work we have to do. And I think we all understand that. He said several times, we have a lot of work to do. We've got it. And the quicker we can get the organization in place, the better off we are. At the same time, it's important to get the right people in place. And we're not going to tell Hugh he has to have a staff hired in 2 weeks. The important thing is get the right people in the right place.
Jimmy, with your background in the AFC North, did you have any sort of preconceived notion about the Browns? And did your mind need changed?
No. I didn't. I didn't have any preconceived notions, and my mind didn't need to be changed. Again, this is a tremendous organization led by some great people. And, again, there's only 32 of these. So I understood where they had been and where they're trying to go. And I like challenges. And boy, what a challenge. But, boy, when you have the support that I think we have here, man, those challenges become reality.
Hey, Jimmy, why do you think you were able to get the guy you wanted this time when last time Mike Pettine wasn't your first choice?
Well, let me say this, and I know there's a feeling here, and it's deserved, that this is not a good place to coach, and, you know, a lot of it revolves around the owners. But we were pleasantly surprised with the interest in this job. And I think people recognize the potential that is here in Cleveland. Hugh talks about, and we talk about all the time, the rapid fan base. And like I said, we got the guy we wanted, but there were several really outstanding coaches we had the opportunity to interview. And I think it's a credit to really this town and the fan base. But we were well organized, and Sash and Paul and Jed and Dee did a nice job. And, you know, these things are never perfectly smooth, and you have things come up. But the process went as we wanted. We think we got the right guy. But this is just the first step. You know, he's got to put together staff. We've got to get the right personnel person. Got to begin building a really good football team, because we've got a long way to go to be where we're consistently competitive in the AFC North, which is one of the toughest divisions in football, and we all recognize that.
But my point was, I mean, you had that rabid fan base to sell last time, and that apparently wasn't enough to...
Well, I'll just say, I think we were better organized. You know, hopefully the third time's the charm. And I think you learn, you know, hopefully you learn from previous processes of what you can do better. And I think we'll benefit this time.
One last one from Pat. It's his wife's birthday, and he's not happy about it.
Pat, you didn't have to come.
You said the job's about winning. The basic question, what are the Hugh Jackson principles for how you win in the NFL these days?
I think what you do is you start to build a team through the right vision. You got to have leadership, and I think players have got to have some leadership too, you know, obviously in the locker room. Then I think after that, I think it's integrity. And I think the players got to understand integrity is very, very important. Then you got to be accountable. You know, we got to be accountable for what you're doing and how you're doing it. And then you got to have some passion. You know, you got to have great passion for what you're doing, and then you couple that with a little desire and determination, then great things happen. And obviously, the thing that sits on top of that is work ethic. We got to walk in this building every day ready to work and compete to be the best we can be. And that's what I'm going to sell this football team on. That's what I'm going to sell this coaching staff on. That's what I want this organization to be sold on, because we're chasing greatness. And sometimes people chase it, and you don't hit it all the time. But if you don't chase it, then you're going to hit the wrong thing. At least when you chase it, you might fall on something that's really good that gives us a chance to be very special here.